on the conceptual framework. Then paper seven, which is our work in process. We will then move to closed session for the balance of the day. Consistent with past practice, we don't bring forward technical topics. So we will have exhausted our technical agenda for today, despite the fact that we are currently ahead of schedule. Please don't make it change.
We'll make our best.
Okay. Paper six on conceptual framework.
Right. Good afternoon, everybody. As you know...
Elena, is this your first time with the committee?
Yes.
Okay. As we say in America, all y'all, as opposed to some of y'all, have to be nice. Please go on.
Thank you. So, as you know, the ISB is currently undertaking a project to revise the conceptual framework. And at its July meeting, it discussed the transition and effective date for the revised conceptual framework. We are here to inform you of their tentative decisions and to ask for your comments on this issue. So the discussion paper itself was issued in July last year, and the discussion paper suggested that the ISB should start applying the revised conceptual framework immediately after it is issued, and it did not have any other provisions on transition or effective date. Some of the respondents to the discussion paper thought that the ISB should consider transition requirements for the revised conceptual framework, including some transition guidance for the IFRS Interpretation Committee to help you interpret standards that were developed under an earlier version of the conceptual framework. This issue was addressed in July agenda paper 10I, which is in the appendix to paper 6 provided for this meeting. This paper suggested that the IFRS Interpretation Committee, just like ISB, should start applying the revised conceptual framework immediately after it is issued, and in cases when there are some inconsistencies between a standard developed under an earlier version of the conceptual framework and the revised conceptual framework, the Interpretation Committee should use the current guidance in the due process handbook and to refer the issue to the ISB. The ISB tentatively agreed to staff recommendations on transition and effective date and asked us to discuss the issue with you. So with this, we'd like to ask for your comments and questions.
Comments? Questions? Let's go to the phones.
Yes, probably I would like to start.
Martin? Okay.
I have an issue with regard to, well, consider we have the new framework in place, and then consider what IRS 8 is telling us. In making the judgment described in paragraph 10, and paragraph 10 deals with issues where we have no explicit rules, management shall refer to and consider the applicability of the following sources in descending order. So, descending order then means first, the requirements in IFRS dealing with similar and related issues. And if these IFRSs are related to the old framework, then for sure I have the link to these old philosophies first, before then, under B of IRS 8, I should have a look in the framework. So there I see or might see some challenges, and specifically if we consider, well, what is the liability according to IRS 37 when we use the no realistic alternative where there's no practical ability to avoid the transfer and so on, so there might develop changes. So this could be, well, a challenging or interesting thing to overcome.
Joanna, did you want to respond to that?
Yes, we are aware of this issue, and currently the position is that standards take precedence over the conceptual framework, and this will continue to be the case.
So to make sure that we're absolutely clear, we just completed a conversation about IAS 12.
Yeah.
You could have a spirited debate about whether or not deferred taxes meet the definition of a liability, but we don't go there. The standard already tells us what to do, and you would expect that to continue. Okay?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Next question or issue. Well, if we have a scenario where we have detected a kind of inconsistency between the standard and the new framework, and the IRB says, okay, we believe that it's acceptable and we do not need to have any changes. These kinds of, well, decisions or these kinds of judgment, will this be published somewhere in the basis for conclusions or so, or well, how one could see and document what was discussed?
Well, I guess my question, which I think is what you're talking about, is having reached the conclusion that the entire conversation evolves in the context of an existing standard, we don't have to do anything else. We don't have to have a separate consultation with the board because you've told me that standards always trump. Am I correct in that understanding?
However, in your due process handbook, it also says that if you are faced with an inconsistency between a standard and the conceptual framework, you should refer this issue to that.
Then we have to refer all of our issues on income taxes and pensions to the board.
You might end up with the board actually coming back and saying, yes, we're aware of that, but go away and do the best that you can with the principles that you can get from the standard itself. So in a lot of those cases, it's probably not even, you know, in theory, you're doing it, but actually the board's going to come back and say, yes, but look at the principles underpinning the particular standard and try and interpret those.
I'd say we'd only have to tell them once.
Well, I don't want to even have to tell them once if we don't have to. May we rely on the wise counsel of our board and observers to highlight for us areas in which they think it's particularly important for us to consult? Philippe, you're going to say you're not wise? Philippe?
I'm going to say that. I'll try to be a little bit. No, I think I don't have any specific example or situation in my mind, but it's just in terms of process, if in the future, in interpreting a standard, you as a committee want to make reference to the framework to help you develop an interpretation, which framework do you look at? If you want to look at the current framework, the most current, the new one, you may find it to be inconsistent with the old standard that you are being interpreting, and then you have a problem.
That's
the old framework was developed based on the old standard was developed based on the old framework, which has been replaced by the new framework. Where do you go? And then the recommendation is that you consult the board in this rare occasion.
Okay. So, and in my tenure, I can only recall one circumstance in which we referred to the framework, and that's interpretation 21. So this is pretty close to being a null set, is what I'm.
Yeah.
Okay. Going back to the floor, I'm going to Bruce, John, Reinhardt, and then we'll go back. Oh, and Andrew, then we'll go back to the phones.
Thanks. The comment I was going to make was pretty much the first one was similar to what Philippe had said. So I'll agree with what he had to say there. In terms of the other things, in terms of the paper, I mean, I agreed with it. I mean, when I read it, I kind of thought to myself, well, what is there really an alternative? You know, once a new conceptual framework is out, that's the conceptual framework under IFRS. How we could even consider looking at the other one just makes absolutely no sense to me. You know, given this is the foundation, what we do. And I mean, I think that the exact issue is what you were saying. There are concepts currently we're using in standards that just don't exist in the existing framework. So if we get a question at the moment about whether something should go to OCI, do we turn around and say, well, we're just not going to address it? You know, we can't do that. And that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying I've always believed that the standards clearly trump the conceptual framework. I think that if we do, and looking at what the due process handbook says, yes, I think it says we need to make mention to the board, and I mean there's a number of members here, we can look at it. If we believe it's such a substantial issue that obviously it completely and utterly conflicts, then yes, we'll refer it up to the board. But I don't believe we're going to get to that stage. So I mean, as I said, I didn't really see an alternative but to using this conceptual framework as issued.
John?
I do suspect we're probably talking about a null set, as you would say. I'm in basic agreement with the paper. I think the transitional provisions for those that have selected their accounting policy on the basis of using the hierarchy, I think, is necessary. And I agree with not having an effective date for the IASB or the Interpretations Committee. I do think we may need to look at the process for the Interpretations Committee, though, because what happens with existing interpretations which we've issued, which may no longer be consistent with the conceptual framework, but they are, of course, consistent with the existing standards. So we would say those are still there. They're not overridden by the new framework. But as soon as someone raises a question about those interpretations, we have to deal with those submissions, and then we're caught between a new framework that is actually, that they are inconsistent with, and standards with which they are consistent. So are we then in 7.8, and we would have to refer all of those to the board? The same thing may go for agenda rejections notices, again, where we provide some level of guidance based upon existing framework and standards. You know, if they are going to be made inconsistent by the issuance of a new framework, and we get asked to clarify whether that is still the appropriate guidance, we're going to face the issue about the conflict. So it seems to me we maybe should think a bit more about our process when and if that happens.
Reiner?
My comments are very, very similar to John's, because I think the way I read the paper, it would suggest that for an issue that we look at, that we would look to existing IFRSs in terms of coming up with our interpretation. But it would suggest as well, the way I read the words in paragraphs 18 through 20 of the paper, where it refers back to the due process handbook, that we would have to consider, in addition, whether that guidance would conflict with a new conceptual framework. And there could be a number of instances where that would, as you pointed out, Wayne. And so the question is, what does it mean to seek direction from the ISB? I mean, basically, the way I read this, it's what suggests we have to stop work, get direction from the ISB as to what we do further. So my point is, it just seems to me we need to take a closer look at our process in that respect.
Sue, and then Andrew.
Just make sure that we're not making it sound more complicated than it is, because my understanding of the process is that from the board's perspective, when we issue the new conceptual framework, we're not saying that suddenly all of the old standards necessarily have to be questioned in terms of their consistency with the new conceptual framework. So we've got a new conceptual framework, we've got existing IFRS that continue to exist, and then over time, if we need to, we'll consider whether there's amendments that we need to make. So the board's not saying, my God, you know, now we've got to go back and question the legitimacy of all of our standards. So to the extent that the committee has interpreted those standards that stay in place, unless there's been gaps where you've specifically gone to the framework, I wouldn't have thought that there'd be any more question about the legitimacy of those interpretations because of the new framework than there is about the standards themselves that we're not questioning. So unless there's been specific gaps where you've used the framework, are we not talking about a narrow population, or am I missing something in what you mean?
Sorry, just to respond to that, the difference is the board doesn't have to put on its agenda a project to look at a standard. The IFRIC has to accept submissions that come in and decide whether to put them on its agenda. Some of those submissions may well be about existing interpretations and whether those interpretations are still valid. So we may well get asked a question and have to answer it in the context of a framework that's now in conflict with a standard, where it may not have been currently. I mean, there may not be many cases of this. I'm just saying I think we ought to understand or do some work on what our process should be.
I'd hate to make this more complicated than it needs to be just because we have time to do so. If we have issued an interpretation, an interpretation seems to me has exactly the same standing as a standard. So again, it trumps the conceptual framework. There is space potentially around our agenda decisions when somebody says, well, you decided not to do this before, but now there's a dazzling insight from the new conceptual framework that might throw that into question. I would propose that we ask the staff to think about how we would formalize guidance for the committee. But again, my expectation is that this would be a very, very small population. Philippe, and then we'll go back to this.
Let's just try to do a scenario whereby we would have completed a new framework just 2 years ago, and we would have adopted an extended view of what a liability is, view two in a conceptual framework paper, not view one. And that this committee would be faced with a request for interpretation about levies. So what you have in front of you is IAS 37, as it is today, not yet revised as a result of changing the framework. So maybe on the potential agenda to be revisited someday, but not yet, and a new framework. And of course, you would have to interpret IAS 37 for levies, and you would be a bit uncomfortable because according to the framework, that would be a liability, and not according to 37. So what it says here is that questionable. As a board, what do you think? And the board probably could not tell you that you don't have to interpret 37 as it is written, but the board maybe could say, well, it might not be opportune to develop an interpretation given the circumstances. So it's more about the opportunity of doing something, not what you could do, what the tools you have are the tools you have.
I don't want to go borrow in trouble. I take your point. Sue's comment is that might be a gap. I would have thought, again, 37 is an existing standard. We referred to it. We didn't rely on it. I think that's the difference. We could have issued, in my mind, Interpretation 21 and never mentioned the framework. It was useful because it reached, it led us to the same conclusion.
Yes, it reinforced the
answer. It reinforced the answer. As I say, I don't want to go borrowing trouble on this one, though. Let's go Bruce, Tony, Andrew, and the phones.
My comment was, I think we've addressed it. It was more around the existing agenda decisions and potentially, I think you addressed it, so that was what I was going to say.
Tony?
Very simply, I wonder if this is a bridge we might be better off crossing when we get to it, rather than
my
speculating a lot in ahead of the fact. Let's wait and see if we have something where this exists, and then we can decide how best to address it.
Andrew?
Yeah, it does feel like rather an abstract discussion at this stage, but the question seems to be, does the committee start using the new framework as soon as it's published? I thought that would depend on the context. If we are looking at potential limited scope amendment, for example, then sure, we'd use the latest thinking as soon as the latest thinking is available. If we are looking at a submission, a new submission on an interpretive issue, and the preparer, if it's a preparer, has just the justification, if it links into the framework, will depend on what preparers have to do by way of transitioning from the old to the new framework, and we'll then have to assess the appropriateness of that view or those views based on the version of the framework they have to follow.
Okay. On the phones, Fei Long. Okay. Martin?
I have no further comment.
Okay. Sandy?
I have no further comments. I started down this path of all the different possibilities yesterday and decided I would stop because it was painful. So, there's really, it's going to come, so there's nothing we can do. I think we should just deal with them when they come.
Okay. Michael?
Just as an observation, and this relates to the IFRIC interpretations, not the existing SIC interpretations. The ones that formally refer to the framework are IFRICs 12, 18, 19, and 20. And even though we did consider the framework for IFRIC 21, it wasn't formally referenced within that interpretation.
And you had that information at your fingertips?
Actually, it's in the book.
It's in the book. Alan, last call.
I was just going to say that this question comes up about the validity of standards, let alone the interpretations, all the time. People say as soon as a framework comes out, the whole world's going to fall apart because everything's going to change, which it's not going to anyway. But I wonder whether the board actually should come out with a statement as part of the framework when it does revise it, just re-emphasising that it doesn't invalidate the standards and emphasising again that the standards actually take precedence, and that could do the same with the interpretation, so there's no question at all.
My sense of the committee, as I, to use a phrase I said used earlier, is we won't borrow trouble on this one. We will be aware of it. We will look to our board. I don't know whether you're advisors or observers or members. You're clearly members. For advice from time to time on this. But at this point, I don't sense any desire on the committee to do anything more formal. Okay, head nodding and shaking, both in agreement. So that's what we'll do.
Thank you.
Michael, you're up next.